This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com.
Well, Steve Eubanks is a senior writer with Global Golf Post, and Steve's latest article is on a young golfer, Emily Nash. We'll talk about Emily. It's a pleasure to welcome Steve Eubanks to the Augusta Golf Show for the very first time. Hi, Steve.
How are you? Nice to be with you, as always.
Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Let's talk about Emily. For the listener that might not be familiar with her or with the story, first of all, who is Emily Nash?
16-year-old junior at Lunenburg High School in Massachusetts. Central Mass. It's just north of Worcester. It's a very small town, about 10,000 people. Quite a good junior player. She's played in a couple of AJGA events. She really excelled within the state. She is the Massachusetts Junior Amateur Champion. So I guess she's the best girl in the state right now. And, comes from a very middle-class family. Her father owns a mechanic shop in town, and he's been in the auto business for 20 years. And, they're just like everybody else. I mean, the dad scrapes and scrimps to send Emily around the country playing junior golf. And she's excited about the possibility of playing college golf.
So what happened to her a couple of weeks ago?
She's playing on the Lunenburg High School boys golf team. And the reason she's playing on the boys golf team is they don't have a girls team. Now, this is a fairly standard practice. I know going back to at least to the 1970s, we had a girl on my golf team when I was playing in high school in the 70s. And I know that even further back than that, there were a number of girls who played on the boys' teams because at the time, there simply weren't any girls' teams. She wins, in essence, their district championship, their regions, and wins it pretty substantially. She wins it by 4 shots. She is then told that she cannot accept the district championship trophy, nor can she move on to the state championship because she's a girl playing on the boys' team, and the girls' golf season is in the spring. Even though they do not have a girls' team, she would be allowed to participate in the state championship as a girl, as an individual. But she cannot win the individual title on the boys' side, despite the fact that she shot the lowest score. Again, when I spoke to the Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association, which handles all of the rules for Massachusetts high schools, I was a little incredulous. I mean, how is this possible that the person who shot the lowest score couldn't win? And they said, in essence, golf is one of the only sports where this is possible because it's the only sport in Massachusetts where the boys and the girls play in two separate seasons. So it wouldn't be able to do it in soccer because they play in the same season, et cetera.
Right.
And so my position on this has been very, very clear. So what? If Emily Nash goes out and plays in the boys' championship in the fall and the girls' championship in the spring, is the world going to come to an end? Of course not. They ought to put her picture up on the wall of her high school. I mean, this is an incredible accomplishment. Girls simply competing on a boys level simply don't normally have the skills to compete. So in those few rare instances where they do, it's something that should be encouraged. And of course, the blowback that I've gotten from this has been, well, a girl plays on the boys team, a boy gets to play on the girls team, which is nonsensical thinking. And I think anybody who throws that out, if they sat down and thought about the matter for a minute or two, would realize that how silly that argument is.
Yeah.
In essence, boys are physically and inherently stronger than girls. They are better athletes than girls. That's just biology. So on those occasions where a girl does have the physical skills to compete on a level playing field, playing from the same tees, whether it's in golf, playing on the same court, whether it's in tennis, playing on the same football field if a girl's playing football, if they can compete without any deviation in the rules, that is something that should be cheered and encouraged at every step.
We're talking with Steve Eubanks here on the Augusta Golf Show. What was Emily's reaction to all of this?
You know, when she was told, she was disappointed, but like most 16-year-olds, she just said, "Oh well." She congratulated her team. She congratulated the kid who won, who actually finished second, but who was given the trophy. And she went home. I mean, she didn't think anything more about it. Told her dad, you know, what had happened. It was the adults who made the mistake, not any of the kids involved here. And it was the adults who brought it to light, because there were a number of people from the Massachusetts Golf Association, which is not to be confused with the high school association that made this rule. The Massachusetts Golf Association were there, you know, officiating on a volunteer basis, who were incredulous that this had happened. And they are the ones that initially went to the press and contacted us as well.
I think it's fair to mention, if I read the story correctly, that the young man who was awarded the first place prize offered it to Emily, and she's turned it down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he was presented the trophy, and he knew it was not correct. He knew that this wasn't right. So he called Emily over and tried to get her to take it. And she said, "No, I mean, it's the rule, and you want it." So they were photographed together, holding the trophy together. He at least talked her into doing that. So again, from the standpoint of doing the right thing, the kids did it at every step. It's the adults in their lives that let them down.
What's been the golf community reaction to this?
It's pretty much a disbelief. And I think the reason that it has been disbelief is, historically in golf, we've gotten it right. I mean, if a woman were to qualify for a PGA Tour event, go out on a Monday and, you know, qualify or go through the normal procedure and do whatever they needed to do to get into an event, she'd be welcome with open arms. No question about it. The U.S. Open is open. If you shoot the numbers in local and sectional qualifying, you're in the field regardless of your gender. And in fact, Michelle, we made it to sectionals one year and was a stretch of three bad holes in sectionals away from advancing to the Open. So, but the Women's Open and the LPGA are specifically for women, and golf has had no problem with that delineation. Is it a one-way street? Sure it is, but it should be. It should be a one-way street because of the physical and inherent differences between men and women.
Now, here's what I know about you that the listener may not know. You're the dad of a female golfer. How'd you feel about all this, Dad?
I was curious, because not only am I the dad of a female golfer, I can relate to the Nashes. I really can. I can relate to, you know, gosh, how am I going to get off this weekend to go take my daughter to this event? Mm-hmm. How far am I going to have to drive to get her the lessons that she needs? Does she have enough golf balls? And, you know, can I go buy them right now? All of the things that they go through, I can certainly relate to as a parent who is going through those same things now. So, and my daughter, there are some instances where I know she could possibly compete with the guys. And in the instances where she could, I think she should be able to.
Well,
but now I say this, I have sons too. So, I mean, it's not as though I'm, you know, my daughter is my lone child.
Right.
I have sons who play baseball and football and basketball. And if there had been a girl at that time who could compete with them at that level, I would have encouraged it as well.
Before I let you go, I know that you're working on a book about Bob Jones. It's a book in collaboration with a friend of the program, Bob Jones IV. Talk just a minute about how this book is going to be different than the books that we've read on Jones in the past.
Well, it's an intimate family portrait. In essence, there are a lot of stories that people may have heard before, but they haven't heard a family member tell them from the family perspective. But there are also a number of stories that have never been heard before. Just the things that from a grandson seeing his grandfather, and stories that have been passed down to Bob IV from his father. And then, of course, the tragedies that befell the family after Bobby's death. There was a lot to mine here in terms of the entire family history of the Joneses. And you know, I hope people will remember and remember what a monumental figure Bob Jones was in our game, and you know, enjoy this tale from a family member.
Book is hopefully due out when?
Next year. About this time next year, actually.
Okay, all right. He is Steve Eubanks, senior writer for Global Golf Post. You can read his work there. I know you're working right now, Steve. I appreciate you taking the time to do this, and we'll talk again.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.